You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
I call her the Golden Condor, because she'll soar through the Andes like a mountain bird.
Great Scott, look at all these gadgets. Who am I going to get to fly this monstrosity?
Well, there is one pilot capable enough to handle this new aircraft.
Oh, no. Not
Launchpad McQuack.
Welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for Three Ducks of the Condor, part three of Treasure of the Golden Suns, the original DuckTales series premiere. I am one of your hosts, Curtis Findlay.
I am your other host, Michael Cohen.
And now, before we dive into this episode, we are going to just talk about a little bit of exciting news here that we stumbled across this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I know that you are probably more excited about this news than I am, seeing that you are a Darkwing Duck fan. But I came across, I saw this posted on Facebook. There's a podcast called Saturday Morning Rewind, and they often have interviews with a bunch of different creators, people who have been in the animation industry, a lot of voice talent, and their particular focus. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but it's the host, Tim Nidell's, his main interest is the Disney Afternoon. So he has a lot of those guests on his show. And so he posted an episode the other day that featured Jim Cummings.
Hmm.
It's actually the fourth time that he's been on the show. And he's a great interviewer. He's a funny guy. He's got great stories. And in this particular episode, he let it slip a little bit about Darkwing Duck's involvement in DuckTales. And I listened to the episode, and it was great. And then today I noticed that the episode was nowhere to be seen, and all of the posts that had been made and shared around Facebook on the various forums that I'm a part of are no longer there. So I messaged Tim Nidell and asked him, where did the episode go? And he told me that the Disney lawyers contacted him, and Jim Cummings had said a little bit more than they were comfortable with about the show. And so he took the episode down, and he told me that he's going to be editing that part up, and he'll put up the rest of the interview, because the rest of the interview is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But the cat is out of the bag.
Yeah. The funny thing about this is that once a podcast is out there, it's out there. And you know, I've had to, in the past, pull back an episode and make an edit or two, usually for like audio quality or something like that, like an audio sync issue or something, but, I've never had to do it for legal reasons. But the thing about the legal reasons is that if I've downloaded that podcast, I have my own copy of it. So now there are bootleg versions of this episode of Saturday Morning Rewind out there that have this explicit content, for lack of a better term. But we're gonna risk the wrath of Disney lawyers and talk about it a little bit ourselves, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
If you don't want this information, if you think that this is going to be too much of a spoiler, because it is actually a pretty big spoiler,
yes.
Then you can skip ahead, I would say maybe 5 minutes or so in the podcast, and get to where we talk about the episode. So you want to say the news, or should I?
Yeah, I will. I'll break it. So basically what Jim Cummings talked about was the fact that when Darkwing appears in DuckTales. He'll actually be appearing as a television character that the boys, that Huey, Dewey, and Louie are obsessed with. So he's like, Darkwing is their favorite TV show. And there's going to be a storyline involving the actor who plays Darkwing and the triplets getting mixed up in some adventure with him. So, it not exactly what we were expecting for Darkwing, but I said this to you, Curtis, when we were first talking about this. I actually am all for this, because what they've done is they've allowed Darkwing to be introduced and play a role in DuckTales without being beholden to the DuckTales universe. So it won't have to match the tone. It won't have to match the style of DuckTales necessarily. And so if they want to reboot Darkwing, they'll be able to do it as this show that's within the show. So, right. I think that's a really cool idea, because it allows them to still keep those two worlds separate. The big question will be whether or not Launchpad will be involved, and we'll have to wait and see exactly how Launchpad translates over to that. But if I were doing it, and I know this is a bit of blasphemy to most Darkwing fans, but I'd probably leave Launchpad behind. I would actually, because we have three incredible seasons of Darkwing Duck, and rather than retread that same territory of Darkwing, Gosselin, and Launchpad as this sort of haphazard family unit, I would actually pull it back into Darkwing's origin and tell the stories of how Darkwing got to that point. And then, you know, like if the series goes like three or four seasons, maybe bring in Gosselin and Launchpad at some time.
Well, you wouldn't even bring in Gosselin. I feel like she is a very important character to have, to the reason why he does a lot of the things that he does.
I think that Gosselin informs the character as of the beginning of Darkwing Duck, but before he meets her, he's already Darkwing Duck. Like, we never in the series premiere of Darkwing, we never see how he became Darkwing Duck. Right? He had been Darkwing Duck for who knows how long, and operating in St. Canard for a while. And so I think you can tell those stories, and I think you can tell the origins of a bunch of his supervillains, and that way you can actually avoid, like I said, retreading the ground that's already there, and introduce some new bad guys. You know, sort of go into some of the more noir type villains like Taurus Bulba, and focus on that stuff instead of the more superheroic aspect of it. And obviously we'll talk about a lot of this stuff when we eventually dig into Darkwing, but the whole, 00 Duck secret agent aspect, which finds its way into Darkwing eventually, but, was actually part of a totally different pitch that became Darkwing Duck. So, I think that you can pull him back, and you can make him a little bit more of a character like Batman or the Shadow or something like that, but with a comedic, obviously the Shadow would need a lot of comedic twist to it, but definitely doing something like that where it's a little bit more like he's fighting crime bosses and that sort of thing, instead of fighting Megavolt and Liquidator and Bushroot and the sort of the later Silver Age Batman villains, but more going back to like that Golden Age Batman.
Well, but then we don't get the Darkwing DuckTales crossover that we've been waiting for, or I've been waiting for at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I did want to see that crossover. But you know, I'm still okay with it. And I think, they could have a lot of fun with crossing over certain elements. Like, I think that they could do something cool with Gizmo Duck, because Gizmo Duck's so important to season 3 of Darkwing Duck. Having Gizmo Duck show up in the new DuckTales, and then maybe at some point having an episode of DuckTales where the producers of the Darkwing Duck TV show see Gizmo Duck and want him to be a part of the show. And at the same time, we've got an episode of Darkwing, hopefully, you know, God willing, at the same time, like you could do them like as a back to back where in that episode, Gizmo Duck shows up for the first time. And then you could play off of that, and you could do it as like a two-parter where we get to see both the friction between the actor who plays Darkwing and Fenton, as well as Gizmo Duck and Darkwing Duck sort of having it out.
Do you remember the old episode of Darkwing Duck where he travels to an alternate dimension where it's all humans?
Yes.
And Darkwing Duck is a character on TV.
Yep.
They could easily play up something like that in DuckTales as well.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, like it's all so much fantasy that I think that at some point having Scrooge and the gang transported into the TV show wouldn't be ridiculous.
No, right? Not at all.
So yeah, I mean, it's, we're talking about Disney cartoons. They can really do whatever they want as long as they explain it with a zany one-liner, right? So. Jump into this episode?
Yes.
Cool. Well, here's the description. An expert examines a coin from the sunken ship and declares it is from the legendary Valley of the Golden Suns. Scrooge flies to the Andes Mountains to find the owner of a twin coin and one half of the map leading to the valley. He is aided by his nephew Donald on temporary leave from the Navy and pilot Launchpad McQuack. So this episode, Treasure of the Golden Suns Part 3, Three Ducks of the Condor, originally aired September 18th, 1987, same as the last two that we're talking about, because it aired all as one part, directed by Alan Zaslav and written by Jim Magan, Bruce Talkington, and Mark Zaslav. And this is where, you know, we talked about it last week when we were doing our Lucky Dime ratings, and I was saying, like, I feel like it's picking up. Feel like we're in for a good episode, and we definitely were. This is a fantastic episode of DuckTales.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it's so I guess you could call it Barksian. Like so many elements of Carl Barks in here. It's just wonderful. Yeah, it's a great adventure. And I think a lot of that is with the inclusion of Donald Duck.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He adds so much to it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see why obviously taking influence from the comics, but also from sort of the better parts of the original DuckTales series, they wanted to include Donald, because I think that he does add an extra element that I really like in this episode as well as in the new series. Donald's just such a fun character. Donald, I have a really hard time. You know, you want to pick your favorite of Mickey's cast of characters, right? Between Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy, Daisy, Pluto. You know, sort of those the main Disney characters that you see on Disneyland merchandise, right?
Yeah.
And you know, if you extend that to Chip and Dale, they are definitely my two favorites, and of the two of them, probably Dale more so than Chip. Although I probably have way more in common with Chip than I do Dale, because I'm a little.
But Dale's the funny one.
Dale's the funny one. So yeah, but I have a hard time. It flips between Donald and Goofy, and I think as I get older, I become more in line with Donald, and so he's over the last few years become probably my favorite of those characters, and definitely watching this reminds me why I love him so much, because I always loved. So I have a brother with Down syndrome, and Christopher has a hard time because he's deaf. He's completely deaf in one ear and has about 30% hearing in the other. So his speech is not that intelligible at the best of times. And yet from a young age, because he's my older brother, I grew up with him. I can understand 90% of what he says when other people are like, huh? What did he just say? So I, watching this episode, had flashbacks to being a kid and really connecting with this episode. And every time Donald was on, because Donald talks and he's got this speech impediment. And then everybody's always like, what did he say? And then Scrooge translates, right? And by the end of it, Launchpad understands, and Scrooge is like, what did he just say? And so I just wanted to bring that up, because I think that that's an aspect of Donald that doesn't get credit very often. And that's coming from, that's not me sort of projecting something, but at my own actual lived experience, is that I related to Donald, like the characters around Donald, who could understand him when nobody else could, especially like as Donald gets more angry, that he gets harder to understand. And I can relate to that so much, where the more frustrated Chris gets, the harder it becomes to understand him, and he gets more frustrated, and you get into this loop with it, right? And oftentimes as a kid, I had to translate for him. So I can just remember watching this as like a 6-7 year old and thinking that, like, actually connecting those dots, and Donald being a character that really meant a lot to me because of that. So. It was really fun to revisit this episode and have those memories come back.
Wow, that's really neat.
Yeah. Let's start with our top three moments here. Do you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah. One of my favorite moments in this episode is Launchpad's debut. It was like Scrooge goes to Gyro to build a contraption to fly him to the Andes. Gyro builds this thing and recommends a pilot that he knows, Launchpad. And they go to the field, and the first thing they see, it's not just a crash, but this is an absolutely insane, brutal airplane crash. It's just like, it's quite shocking compared to like the more comedic, you know, he bounces along the ground and into a wall or something like that kind of crashes. Like this one is a full-on nosedive and explosion, and Launchpad walks away from it
and his scarf is on fire. Launchpad's debut is definitely one of my high points in this episode as well, but specifically when Gyro kind of intimates who he's about to call on, and he goes, there's only one pilot stupid enough, crazy enough to pilot this. I love it. Cause it really, it
tells you everything you need to know.
Such a great introduction to the character of Launchpad McQuack.
Yeah.
For sure. So that line was one of my top moments. Cool. What else did you like?
Well, Gyro has always been my favorite character in DuckTales. Mm-hmm. I love the episodes that he's in. And this version of Gyro is extremely faithful to the comics, because he's originally a comic character, one of the oldest Barks characters here as well. And the way he's portrayed is just spot on. And I love his voice. Hal Smith does the voice. And an interesting little trivia fact, Hal Smith is the original voice of Uncle Scrooge, when Uncle Scrooge his first animated appearance was in a short called Uncle Scrooge and Money, and Hal Smith was the voice of that. He's also the voice of Owl in Winnie the Pooh and a bunch of things. So cool. I just love Gyro. He's such a great character. Kind of not a care in the world. He's just eccentric and comes up with great ideas, and he's just a very faithful, constant friend to Scrooge. So I'm eager to see him in the new series and seeing what they're going to do with his character. He looks very different.
Very. And voiced by Jim Rash, and I'm sure that a lot of that will come out in the character, because Jim Rash is a very, like, kind of a specific actor. He's a very specific performer. So I'm looking forward to the new Gyro as well. And Gyro is such a great character. Gyro has so many awesome moments throughout the series. And he's really, especially later on, a lot of his inventions are actually like the impetus for the adventure. So
totally,
he's this great character that you add to the cast that increases story potential, and that's such a great character to have around. But one of my other top moments was an introduction of a character. We got introduced to like half of the cast in this.
Yes, episode. I was actually quite surprised. I forgot that in this one episode we meet.
Yeah,
like everybody, pretty much.
Yeah. So my other top moment is the introduction of Beakley, and her interaction with the triplets. All of the other candidates for a governess, which is a very old term for nanny. They're all running for the hills because I. Huey, Dewey, and Louie are not exactly thrilled with the idea of being babysat. And when we are introduced to Mrs. Beakley, we're introduced to her as like her and Webby are behind chairs, like lion tamers, kind of like dealing with the boys who've got like a rattlesnake around one of their necks. And there's a great moment that tells you everything you need to know about Beakley in one quick exchange, which is when she calls out Huey, and then Louie goes, "He's not Huey, I'm Huey," and she goes, "No, you're Louie," and she's like, and then they're like, how does she tell us apart? I laughed and I said to my wife, I was like, I don't know, maybe the color coded outfits, but it's so great because it just goes to show, like, when everybody else has a hard time with these three boys, here's Beakley, and she's up to the task. But Beakley also, like, another character. This is the thing about DuckTales is the adventures are one thing, the story is one thing, but I think that the strength really lies in the characters. Because Beakley is another great character with all of these layers, where she's very sweet and kind and loving, but at the same time she's kind of no nonsense and she can handle herself and that sort of thing. And you can see where they've sort of selected some of those aspects to bring into the new series. They've definitely taken a lot of Duxworth's character and melded that into the new Beakley, but there's still something great about the original, and how she's this perfect grandmother type, but she can still keep up with everybody else when she needs to.
Well, the thing I like about Beakley's character here is that she's got the attitude in a very unassuming package.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't expect from her grandmotherly look,
mm-hmm.
And even her grandmotherly voice that she's going to be tough as nails and she'll take the boys to task and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
In the new show, everything about her evokes this is one tough woman.
Yeah. There's an interesting aspect to the new Beakley where it's very clear that at one point she was out in the adventuring business with Scrooge, right? Like, you kind of get that sense that she can handle herself. It's in her little introduction video where they're chasing around the ghost, and then she flips the vacuum cleaner from vacuum cleaner to Ghostbuster and sucks up the ghost and doesn't miss a beat. And yeah, it's very. And a lot of that transfers into Webby as well, whereas this version of Webby is not my favorite. You know, she's a little infantile for my taste. She's a little bit babyish, but still a good character. I mean, like it was the time, right?
Definitely. So my favorite moment in this episode is actually the very last gag, the very last one-liner that Donald does. Now, it's an old joke, and I'm a big fan of puns, and I love the old show Peabody and Sherman from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show.
Yeah,
all of those episodes when they travel back in time and meet famous people, it's all written for the sake of a corny gag at the end of the episode. And it's the corniest, it's the cheesiest, it's hilarious, and I feel like a lot of this kind of stuff is like, well, let's have Donald actually flapping the wings of this condor to get back home so we can make this really great joke at the end. He just flew in from the Andes and boy are my arms tired.
It's a long walk to get to that pun, but it's totally worth it because I laughed so out great. Loud. It's a great moment. One of my final moment, and probably one of the biggest laughs that this episode got out of me, is the callback to earlier in the episode when Launchpad says, "If it has wings, I can crash it," and he flies the condor for a time and then crashes it into the ground and goes, "I told you, if it has wings, I can crash it." And I just love it. I love that aspect of Launchpad's character. I love that he's an ace pilot, he's a hotshot, but he can't land. He's just it always reminds
him.
Yeah, and he knows it. And it always reminds me of Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade when Indy and his dad get into the airplane and they take off from the Zeppelin, and his dad goes, You know how to fly a plane? And Indy goes, "Fly, yes. Land, no." And it's I've always loved that joke, and Launchpad exemplifies that. What do we got for our behind the scenes and Easter eggs and such?
Well, there's a few things I wanted to mention here. Mm-hmm. One is the title of this episode, Three Ducks on the Condor, is actually a play on the movie 3 Days of the Condor, which is a 1975 Robert Redford movie. Most of the episodes in DuckTales are play on words, which I always love as well.
Yeah.
So at the very beginning of the episode, when the coin collector is examining Scrooge's coins, he makes mention of a Zaslovian coin.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned before, the director of this episode is Alan Zaslav.
Yeah.
And Mark Zaslav is one of the writers for this episode, too. So they snuck their name in there.
Nice.
The biggest thing in this episode is that while it's not a direct reference, it's fairly obvious, I think, that this is one of Karl Barks' most famous stories is called Lost in the Andes, and they travel to a city called Plain Awful, where they have an adventure. The citizens of this city they kind of worship whatever the current trend happens to be. When they get there, it's square eggs, And so there's a few callbacks there. The characters look nothing the same. The land is not really the same, except it has that ancient Mayan kind of feel to it, and they're both in the Andes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if this place is supposed to be a direct reference to Plain Awful, but it's sure similar.
Yeah.
And we saw Plain Awful, the reference to Plain Awful, on Webby's corkboard in the new DuckTales. So that's gonna come up sooner or later, I'm sure, in the new show.
Yeah, for sure.
The last thing I wanted to mention is that the big golden sun coin that we see, where all the people are worshiping, we see that coin in the first episode of the new DuckTales in Scrooge's garage.
Ah, cool. Yeah, it's so fun to go back and watch that first episode again and see all the little Easter eggs and stuff. I just wanted to mention that two things here. First, Peter Cullen voiced one of the characters in this episode, Joaquin Slowly. I loved that gag of Joaquin so Slowly and Marcin Slowly, his ancestor. I thought that was pretty funny. But Peter Cullen, the voice of Optimus Prime.
Of course. And, in a very different role. You'd never even recognize him.
A very different role. But the second that I heard that voice, I was like, oh, it's pretty familiar. So if you ever wanted to know what Optimus Prime would sound like with a Spanish accent, now you know.
Peter Cullen was also the voice of Eeyore for quite a few years through the 80s.
Oh, cool.
Through the 80s and 90s. Yeah, so we had Eeyore and Hal Smith was Owl and of course Jim Cummings. Oh, Jim wasn't in this episode, actually.
No, not in this episode. But yeah,
the voice of Tigger and Pooh. So a lot of Winnie the Pooh characters here.
Cool. Well, what do we have for our from our junior podcasters this week?
We have just a short review from Peter. Milo again wasn't up for the task, but Peter is our faithful podcaster, junior reporter here, and we'll let's hear what he has to say.
Hi, my name is Peter, and I'm here to talk about DuckTales Part 3. So I bet you remember Part 2 and Part 1. This is Part 3. So they crash landed in this city, and they had this golden sun coin, and Scrooge had one also, and they all were like. Golden sun, golden sun, golden sun, golden sun. And they picked up Donald from the ship before they crash landed. And when they got back to the ship to drop Donald back off, they kind of crashed onto the ship. My favorite part of the episode was when Launchpad was flying this giant condor. And it was really cool. It's an animal. That's all today. See you next afternoon. Well, I mean, night? I don't know. We're not really doing it afternoons now, so it's really weird. Anyway, see you next for part 4. Bye.
One of our listeners pointed out that we're not going to hear a lot of Jim Cummings in DuckTales, but I just want to head down and see who that was. Here we go, Mike Russo. He commented last week or 2 weeks ago, I should say, and then again on this most recent episode that was just released last week regarding. Our Jim Cummings character count, which is currently at one full character, but also a side character.
yeah.
But we're not going to necessarily hear too much from Jim Cummings, although we're keeping our ears open just in case, because he might not necessarily be credited in every episode that he appears in. But when we said Jim Cummings character count, we're not just talking about DuckTales. We're talking about all of the series. So when we get into Darkwing Duck, you can rest assured there will be a lot. And of course, Rescue Rangers. He's like half the voices in Rescue Rangers, isn't he?
Pretty close.
Yeah, a lot of the one-off characters and that sort of thing in Rescue Rangers are voiced by Jim Cummings. So and you know, if we ever get further down the road, I'm sure in Tailspin and all sorts of other stuff.
Well, he's the voice of Louie in Tailspin, and he's the voice of Pete in Goof Troop, and there's lots of stuff to go down the road there.
So we're not just counting DuckTales. We might be in DuckTales territory right now, and who knows what DuckTales 2017 has in store? Because he'll be making his return as Darkwing Duck, but undoubtedly he will be showing up as other characters as well. So I will just say that, But yeah, of course, if you guys want to get in touch with us, you can do that either through the Facebook page, facebook.com/tuneafternoon, on Twitter @tuneafternoon, or by emailing us tuneafternoon@gmail.com. And we love to hear from you guys. So definitely drop us a line. But let's get to our rating here. And here, you go first. I usually go first. You go first this time.
I think I'm going to rate this one. I'm going to give this one 4 dimes and a nickel, 4.5. I think that I would have loved to see Huey and Dewey and Louie on this adventure as mm-hmm. well. So that docks it just 1 nickel. But other than that, it's a great episode. It's better than the first two parts. And it might even be the highlight of the five episodes, because I know mm-hmm. that the next one doesn't rate as high for me.
Okay. I'm gonna give it four lucky dimes, even. No change okay. necessary. I thought it was really good. I really liked it. The villager shtick gets a little bit tired by the end of it. It really bothers me when Scrooge hands Joaquin the second coin, and then they immediately like turn on him. Once Joaquin has both coins, to me, like that, it was a little bit like you, but you guys just saw him with the coin. Your memories are so short. So that, that docks at that half a point that would have gotten it to four dimes and a nickel, me. But, cause I just found that to be it was a little bit lazy in my opinion, but, just to create some additional conflict. Otherwise, I mean, I think it's a really great episode. I thought it was a lot of fun, and definitely so far the most fun I'm having with classic DuckTales.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, in our next episode, part 4 of Treasures of the Golden Sun, it's called Cold Duck. And our description is, after Scrooge goes off alone to follow the ocean currents to find the other half of the map, Launchpad and the boys follow his trail to Antarctica, where they are captured by a city of intelligent penguins. They receive unexpected help from the boys' new governess, Mrs. Beakley, and her granddaughter, Webigail.
Awesome. So this is an episode that'll have the whole gang together. Eventually, yeah, if they
minus
can...
Donald.
Yeah, well, minus Donald. But really our regular game, DuckTales crew all right. together. So definitely looking forward to that. And Launchpad and the nephews, because I enjoy the dynamic between those characters. So cool. Awesome. Cool. Well, I guess that's it for this episode, right?
It is. Yeah, that was awesome. That was a good one.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you on the next episode.
See you next afternoon.
Don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/tuneafternoon, as well as on Twitter @tuneafternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at tuneafternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KurtisFindlay.
And I'm on Twitter at ArkWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack and pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney Company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.